I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming back to the Monterey Fairgrounds, October 2017. Go to rhodapsychicfair.com, sign up for that email list so you can be informed of the ongoing events throughout the course of the year, as well as to be notified right away when we're preparing for that event next October. So Rhoda Psychic Fair has been in the Monterey County area for over 35 years. We hope you'll come and be a part of it with us. Well, here we are almost to the middle of January in 2017. As a matter of fact, tomorrow is our Friday the 13th. Ooh. But as most of you know, I like to start each show with a little bit of Day by Day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen wrote his book, As a Man Thinketh. Now, he took it from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. James Allen wanted us to know that our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts and actions. We've created where we are now, whether we like it or not. And I'm not telling you to have recriminations, judgment, or feel bad about yourself as much as tomorrow is not predicted by your past thoughts and actions. Tomorrow is created today. Our present thought, our present actions, our connections, our non-connections, our conversations, our conflicts, everything today starts creating our new tomorrow. And every day we have a new opportunity to create that new future. James Allen wanted us to know that. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his words have been carved up into a little segment for each day of the month. So it's a little more digestible, unlike that lunch I had today. And for the 12th day of the month, James Allen shares that every circumstance has two sides. Your difficulty is not contained primarily in the situation which gave rise to it, but in the mental state with which you regard that situation and which you bring to bear upon it. That means everything that happens to us allows us to make a choice. Is this good or is this bad? Are we happy? Are we angry? Are we neutral? Does it really matter in the scheme of things? Or is there a need for us to be right and impose our rightness on others? Matter of fact, I had that very circumstance today. I will let you know, for the sake of completeness, that I chose to impose my rightness on others. Probably not the best spiritually or heart-centered result or outcome. But so what he's really telling us is that we get to choose. It's the same thing of consider yourself playing cards. And people don't play cards as much as they did as when I was growing up and the families would get together and everybody would play cards. Well, the whole issue about cards is it has nothing to do about the cards you're dealt. It has everything to do with how you play the hand with the cards you're dealt. And that's what James Allen's telling us for the 12th day of the month. Every circumstance has two sides. Your difficulty is not contained in the situation which gave rise to it, but but in the mental state with which you regard that situation and which you bring to bear upon it. Are you dwelling on it in a negative state of fear? Are you accepting it as the natural state of where you are? Are you starting to plan to how to move from that natural state to another state which you feel is from a higher level or more fulfilling? What are you bringing to bear on it? Keeping in mind that our natural state as human beings is not a standard step of 1, 2, 3, or 4. It's a continuum of 1 through 4. We travel back and forth. But we always have the opportunity to choose in the moment how we're going to look, perceive, or receive something that happens. Now, one of the things that I choose to do is also take something positive out of each and every day. And what I use is I use the daily word from Unity. And they have a daily affirmation that you can use as a focus point. And today's daily affirmation says, "My inner strength is greater than any outer appearances." Think of that. My inner strength is greater than any outer appearances, no matter how I look, no matter how I physically feel. What I'm saying is my inner strength is strong enough to do what I need to do in this moment. And that my inner strength will carry me to what I need to do in the future moment. But just as James Allen taught us, we have to believe that. We have to accept that. We have to absorb that. So when you're going through whatever concerns you, whatever is troubling you, whatever is bothering you, remember, your inner strength is greater than your outer appearances. You're allowed to feel bad. You're allowed to have your moments of sorrow. But don't allow yourself to live in sorrow. Don't allow yourself to live always feeling bad. Wherever you are in your life at this moment, allow yourself to know that you're a valuable component to all that's going on in the world. We need you. Your divine light is as important as the divine light of anyone else. So therefore, allow your inner strength to be greater than any outward appearances from anything that anyone else may actually see. Now, later in today's show, I'm going to talk to you more about the aspects today, especially the full moon in Cancer. But for right now, let's go to our guest. Catherine Bell began life on the East Coast in Massachusetts. She's been living in the Santa Cruz area since graduating from Williams College in 1985. Now, after receiving her PhD from UCSC in 1993, she went to work for NASA. And in her 11 years at NASA, she studied the formation of stars and planets. However, she was always interested in the other side of the astral world as well, the world of dreams. And when she discovered the students of the dream work, she felt she had come home. Experiential dream work is grounded in the dream as an experience to be lived and felt. She doesn't believe it's necessary to understand a dream in order for the dream to work. Working with her clients through one-on-one sessions, she helps bring the dream into waking consciousness, enhancing its healing power. And she also conducts group sessions focused on in-depth feeling-centered work. And in addition, each year, she hosts a dream work intensive held in Santa Cruz, which draws participants from around the U.S. and Canada. And this year's event, the Dream Caravan, will be held on February 5th from 2 to 6 p.m., featuring 7 interactive workshops, art and movement opportunities, as well as a private session with an experienced dream practitioner. So let's welcome Dr. Catherine Bell back to Good Vibrations Radio. Welcome, Catherine.
Hey, Solazar. Glad to be here again.
Yeah. So let's, for the listeners who may not have heard our last conversation, let's give them a little summary of what made you actually leave your astrophysicist work with NASA to decide that your course and your journey in life was to really do full-time dream work with clients?
Well, I've always been interested in my dreams. It was, for me, kind of a process of learning that other people were not as interested as I was. I have, you know, quite a few childhood dreams that I still treasure. And that was, you know, my family was very oriented towards science, as we talked about last time. And so I found myself going in a direction of studying science for professional work. And I discovered, though, that even though it was something that I was good at, that it wasn't super satisfying. I was really kind of tickled to discover that some of the work I did for my thesis and shortly after my thesis work having to do with temperature structure in the solar nebula is still being used by observers today. Excuse me, as they look at meteorites and comets that are some of the most primitive materials in the solar system, and they're still using some of my models for that.
As a matter of fact, just to cut you off, I was referencing that only yesterday.
Oh, really?
No, I wasn't.
You're pulling my leg. But you know, besides comets and asteroids and meteorites and things that strike the Earth are definitely of great interest to us, and it's probably where our original organic material came from that populated the planet, that, you know, that became the forerunners of life on Earth.
Yeah.
But, you know, that I found that those ideas were very exciting, but the actual nitty-gritty work on doing the calculations, I did a kind of a solar nebula hydrodynamic model using calculus to understand the way radiation and the local release of energy set up a temperature structure in the nebula. But I had found that it was the work was interesting, but it wasn't really fascinating. It wasn't really holding my attention, and it was hard for me to be motivated to do research and to publish papers. I have maybe 6 or 7 papers that have been published over the 11 years that I worked, but I found that it was increasingly something was missing. There was like some soulness that wasn't there. There was something more that I wanted. And I found myself turning toward my dreams. I got involved in a dream group where we met every week and talked about our dreams together. And I found that really lit me up. I found that this was something that I was really could be passionate about. And so when I had a child in 2004, my husband encouraged me to quit and become a full-time mother. I was very happy because at that point I was kind of lost my interest in science, and so I was happy to try something new. And then with having that extra time, well, I don't know if you're a parent, Solazar, but there's not a lot of extra time. I mean, you're taking care of kids. But there was like some sort of space in my life for me to discover something new, and I found that the dreams became more and more important, and I then met with the students of the dream program, and I just felt like you said in your introduction, I felt like I'd come home. It was like, oh, this is something that really, like, it goes in all the way down to my gut, whereas the science was interesting. It was kind of like doing puzzles, and, you know, I still love numerical puzzles and things, but it was kind of like, but it wasn't really deep, whereas I found that the dream work that I was doing was captivating me and spending more and more of my energy and more of my interest and passion in a way that the science never did. And the funny thing about the dream work is that the more that I did the dream work as a client, as I learned to, learn to stay with my feelings, then I opened up a whole new world of myself. And so I became even more of a feeling person than I had been. I've always thought of myself as fairly intellectual, and, you know, well, I'm a scientist, and so I'm just kind of like a thinky kind of person. And actually, I'm finding that I have a lot of passion. I have a lot of excitement, and I can also get very, very sad and angry, and that those feelings are something that I have been afraid of in the past and certainly have not respected in any way. And I've like, okay, I'll just waiting for them to pass, basically, and kind of I would close them down or I would do something to numb myself out. But I found that as I got into the dream work, that the dreams themselves provided a container so that when I would feel a great deal, that there would be a way that it was okay to feel a lot. One of the things, ways that we work with dreams have to do with taking an image or an experience, so like a verb, something that happens in the dream, and feeling into that moment and seeing how that can relate to your outer life. So often I have found that if I'm having a big reaction, if I'm feeling something very, very strongly and it's uncomfortable, like if I'm angry, as happens that when you have children sometimes, it happens, that I can then, if it seems like it's out of proportion to the moment, I mean, that's, I guess, what I want to stress, is that feelings are wonderful things, but sometimes they get out of proportion to the moment, and that, like, one little thing of missing a light as we're driving somewhere, and it turns yellow, red, and then we're sitting there, can cause me to get really upset, and it's way out of proportion to the actual incident, and that's what I would call a reaction. And so when that sort of thing happens, it's because the act of being stopped there touched into something that is way deeper than the actual moment. And with the dream work, I can take that moment and feel back into a dream moment where something similar happened. I mean, how often are we frustrated in dreams? Happens all the time. And then if I can bring it back to a dream moment, then it takes the charge out of the waking life moment. It brings it back to where I can feel in myself, oh, wow, okay, this is really intense. Something's coming up for me, rather than, oh, that stupid driver cut me off or whatever. It takes me out of that blame and brings me back into, wow, I'm really having a lot of feeling here. This is intense. Something's really coming up for me.
I think what's interesting about what you just shared, because I don't think we touched on that last time, was the idea that my waking experience is now brought back into a dream experience to examine it in a very different and potentially more detailed way.
Yeah.
So when you do that, is that based on, for instance, this is not real, by the way, this is facetious on my part, but you know, I had the dream of fighting the bull and now the driver just cuts me off and I get angry. Do I bring it back into that dream, or do I try to bring it back into a dream feeling state? I mean, what do you guide a client to do? How do you do that?
Well, I would do, I think you've got pretty good instincts, Solazar, that is what I would do, that if I was feeling frustrated and cut off and feeling blame, and that was a similar feeling to when I was fighting the bull, I could sit there holding onto the steering wheel going, okay, this is what this is like me fighting the bull. And so it takes it out of what's actually happening in the waking life. And it's strange. I don't know why this helps, but it really does. So by bringing up the image of the bull and actually remembering what you were doing in the dream, like holding, you know, whatever weapon you had when you were fighting the bull, and imagining yourself doing that and bringing those feelings and directing them toward the bull, then the waking life situation becomes diffused. So then I'm not going to be driving unsafely. I'm not going to be trying to pass somebody just because they cut me off. Because there's a word they use for this sometimes, which is called introjection, which is the opposite of projection. So you take a waking life experience and you bring it to the dream, and then that dream makes it an interior experience again.
Wow.
So that then you're not swept up by all the winds of the world, because you have your inner soul, your inner depths, that you take with you everywhere you go.
That's interesting. As I said, again, I'm not a particular aficionado of this work, so I don't have an in-depth from it, but I've never actually heard that. And I think that that's a fascinating way of looking at the current experience, especially going back to part of the introduction, which came from information you said, that says one of the things you do in experiential dream work was also you take a person back into the feeling of the dream, and we don't necessarily have to understand it in order for the dream to do what it's intending to do with us.
It's true. The dreams are a bit like poetry in that they're symbolic, and that they affect us on a feeling level, but we don't need to understand every word or every image.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that their dreams are incredibly primitive. I mean, there's now more and more evidence that all mammals dream, and maybe even certain reptiles dream. So there's something incredibly helpful about dreaming. It's like there's some kind of evolutionary advantage to dreaming. So we don't really need to understand the process so much as just to know that it is very important, and to honor our dreams. And by bringing those into conscious life, then we can enhance their healing properties.
Yeah, and not to get too far off that, but I noticed in your dream caravan, for instance, you have a variety of folks that will be there. And one of them, I've got to find, was Kathleen Sullivan. Here it is. So you're going to have Sue Scavo and Bill St. Cyr. And I believe they're the experiential dream work folks. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. And as well as a new Darren Jacobek and Jenny Cho will also be there, and they also do experiential style dream work. Kathleen Sullivan and Linda Mastrangelo have different styles.
Yeah, and Kathleen Sullivan years ago, just to let you know, is that, let's see, when would I say years ago? Maybe 97?
Yeah.
Maybe even 98, I went to see her.
Ah.
Because I had a recurring dream over a period of weeks, and it really wasn't recurring. It kind of built on itself, but it was very clear in each dream that it was building on the other dream. It was kind of like, you know, chapter two or chapter three of that dream. It was very interesting. I went to see her. I remember at that time she was living in Carmel, she still is. Okay. But at that time, but what I wanted to say is, so it seems like with experiential dream work, what we're dealing with, one, is certainly the past, because the feelings are coming from some actual or a perceived event, perhaps, or whatever. It comes down to one type of thing that's being resolved. And I'm saying this, you can certainly correct me. But in the time that I went to see Kathleen, I was also looking at something that seemed to be potentially predictive. So in experiential dream work, do you deal with the idea of my feelings are predicting a future event, or is it more of a projection of a future event?
Well, it's an interesting question. And certainly dreams have been used as shamanic tools for, you know, hundreds if not thousands of years, and as a way of predicting the future or helping us decide what to do. I find the most fruitful way of working with dreams has to do with the present. I mean, just as so many other spiritual practices, it's the present that's really the focus of how we can be the best humans that we can. There's so many things that happen pull us into the past or pull us into the future. But I believe there's a level of dreams that has to do with the future as well as with the past. There's also a really intense level of dreams having to do with the collective, that, you know, there's been a lot of shifts in consciousness that tend to show up in dreams. Like since the election, there's been a lot of people dreaming more collective kinds of dreams. I mean, it's something that we pick up on in our environment. So I think all of that is there, and we can focus on different parts of the dreams. We can do lucid dreaming. There's all kinds of different ways of working with dreams. But for me,
go ahead. Go ahead, please.
My favorite way of working with dreams, like, as I'm saying, has to do with the present, and how can I make the present the best experience that it is, which isn't always the most pleasurable experience, but how can I be the best person that I can in this moment, and then that's going to be the thing that's going to ensure my future.
And I want to let the listeners know that they can go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com, and there's two links. We certainly have the link to your website for you, and that's where they can find out more about private sessions and group sessions. And we also have the link to the Dream Caravan, which is coming up on February 5th from 2 to 8 p.m., and people can buy their tickets now, both of which are coming up. So if if I have not experienced dream work and I went to the dream caravan, what would you tell me my experience could be? Not that it will be.
Well, I think if you're at all curious about dreams, whether you have experience with dreams or not, just some level of curiosity is all that it's going to take to make it an amazing event. That we have several speakers. We actually have a total of 6 speakers. There's parallel sessions, and then we also have art opportunities where you can do drawing. We're going to do a movement class where you can, will help you ground you into your body, because so much of dream work is about coming back into your body and really feeling what's happening in your body, which so many of us tend to ignore. And so we have actually a movement exercise. We have a chair massage person who's going to be selling sessions. We have merchandise. We're selling food for dinner. And then at the keynote speaker of the evening at 7 o'clock, we're going to have the fabulous Reverend Deborah Johnson from Inner Light Ministries, who's going to give the keynote address, which she's an amazing speaker and a social activist, and she'll be talking about awakening the force within. So she's not specifically a worker with dreams, but she's going to talk more about how do we bring our dreams into the world, which I think is something that we started off talking about, is how do we take those waking dreams and bring them into the world. In fact, there's also a panel discussion, which we're calling When Sleeping Dreams Transform Waking Life. One of the real keys of this work is how do we transform the waking life, since that is, you know, that's the here and the now, and that's the prize of the present.
Yeah, that's where we want to go, is actually we want to make the waking life the one that we revel being in.
Yes, right.
So what led you to really start doing your annual event? Now, this one is called the Dream Caravan. Are they always called the Dream Caravan?
Well, the Dream Caravan is a term that was originally coined by Keisha Kamenetz in New Orleans, that she has been holding these public dream events down in New Orleans, I think for 5 or 6 years now, and they look a little different every year. They're public events, and I got an opportunity to attend one of her events in 2015. They had a retreat there, and along with a caravan, and Keisha is very passionate about bringing dream work into the world, so to speak, so that more people know about dreams and, like, you know, making it kind of a thing. Like you go do yoga, or you get acupuncture, or you do, you know, nonviolent communication. Like, what is the thing? And maybe the thing is then you go do dream work. So this is like one of the many opportunities for healing and transformation in our lives. But a lot of people don't know that you can work with your dreams. And so this public event is to spread awareness about dreams and how they can really transform our lives. So Kezia envisioned that these caravans would happen in many cities all over the country, and that people would just go to their local caravan and meet the local people doing their dream work in the local communities, and just really bring it to consciousness. And so I talked to her, and she agreed that I could use the name, the Dream Caravan, for my event here in Santa Cruz. I've been doing the retreats now for 3 years. This is my 3rd year, but the retreat is a much more intense experience, and I love retreats. I've been to probably 15, 20 retreats over the last 6 or 7 years. And it's 3 days where we work intensively. Each person at the retreat, they're very small groups, 8 to 10 people in the group. Each person has an hour and a half, and we dive into their set of dreams, like 3 or 4 dreams, and really work with those dreams, with the dreamer, and people act out the various parts. So it's kind of a dream enactment. And it's a really powerful way of bringing the dreams into our body, like I've been talking about the bodiness of dreams. And so I've been doing these retreats here for 3 years, because I've been to Vermont, I've been to Oregon, I've been to Esalen, I've done these retreats all over the country, and I thought Santa Cruz is the perfect place for this. We have all these people who are really interested in their personal growth, and they're really passionate about their souls and about being authentic. And so I thought there would be a real interest in dreams, and there has been. So I've had these dream retreats for 3 years, and this is the first year that I've actually dared to host a caravan at the same time. The retreat is happening from Thursday through Saturday of that week. That's the 2nd through the 4th of February, and there are still a few spaces if anybody wants to join us. Then the caravan will be on Sunday, and so I did them together so that when Sue Scavo and Bill St. Cyr are here in town, that they can come to both of those. They'll be helping to lead the retreat, and they'll also be helping to give talks at the caravan. So the public event called the Dream Caravan is more for people who are just curious and they don't know a lot about dreams, but they wake up in the morning sometimes and they go, huh, well, that was interesting. Or maybe sometime in the middle of the day they go, an image will surface, and they go, why am I thinking about this dream now? And just having that curiosity is totally natural. People are always curious about their dreams. I kind of joke, I went from one popular field to another, that people are always very interested in the stars and the planets. Like when I was an astrophysicist, people would always ask me about positions of the planets and the moon, and now I study dreams, and people also are very fascinated by dreams. So if you're interested in dreams, then I think you'll have a great time at the caravan. I want to let you know that in the next few days, in fact, January 15th, the price is going to go up. So there is an incentive for you to buy your tickets in the next few days. I do, however, have a coupon available. So if a listener wants to get a $5 discount, they should contact me through my webpage, and I'd be happy to send them a discount to get into the caravan more cheaply.
Okay, and also you have an event on February 1st with Sue Scavo and Bill St. Cyr for a one-day practitioner training for therapists. Is that still going?
Yes, that is happening, and that's also I'm very excited about. And this is very new. This is something that Sue and Bill have not done either, but we have a lot of practitioners coming to the retreat, and that some of those practitioners will be staying on Sunday for the caravan to be giving the free dream sessions that you'll get as part of your admission. And since we have all these practitioners here, we thought it would be a great chance to get together and compare the different ways that we work with a group, with groups, as well as on one-on-one. And it's also an opportunity to introduce this style of dream work to local therapists. There's quite a few people who do dream work therapy here in Santa Cruz, and but not of this style. So it's an opportunity for us to introduce this certain way of working with dreams that I have found incredibly powerful to people who are working with dreams in other ways, or maybe therapists who are not working with dreams at all. And that's on February 1st. It's a 9 to 5 event, and I'll have more details on my webpage soon about that the next few days. In fact, I've got a Facebook event page coming out probably tomorrow. So there's really just a whole slate of events that we have coming up. So February 1st is the practitioner retreat. 2nd through the 4th is the practitioner's training day. And the 2nd through the 4th is the retreat. On the webpage, you'll see it's called the Dreamwork Intensive. But that's I call it the retreat. It's sort of the same idea. And then on the 5th will be the caravan. So there's a lot of opportunities to try out some of this work. I also host several dream circles here in town. I have one that has some openings on 2nd and 4th Tuesdays, and we meet at my office on Seabright over near the Rio Theater. It's in the evening, 7 to 9 p.m. You can get information about that on my webpage. But first session is free when it comes to the dream circle, so that's a good way to see if you're interested in this style of working with dreams. And I do different things at the circles depending on how many people are there. If there's only a few, I work more intensively, and if there's more, then we hold space for each other. And that can be very powerful too, because you can really see other people's dreams and give support about your own way of being in the world by seeing what other work other people are doing. And we talk about dreams in that, and we also sometimes act them out, since that's one of the most powerful ways of working with dreams that I've found, is what I call the enactment. Now, session work is another thing that that I offer. It's I do 90-minute sessions, and I charge generally $90 an hour, so I like to think of it like a massage, about what you would pay for a massage. If you buy three sessions to start with, then you get one session free. And I'll also be happy to talk for 30 minutes if you want to just talk to me and kind of give some ideas about my style of working with you and see if we hit it off.
Okay. So let's talk about the differences in the events, though. On February 1st, I was actually trying to say this before, but I was on mute, so it's a good thing you
called. Oh, I was wondering where you were. I was like, where are you, Solazar?
No, I'm serious. Just talking on mute. So on February 1st on the practitioner training, now I would assume from that day, what they really do is get an introduction of how the techniques could be applied, but they're not necessarily qualified to go out and apply them. But it's really kind of an introductory type thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's true. It's an introductory thing. But you'll be able to pick up hints that will help with your practice immediately just by reframing the way you think about dreams. It's going to really affect the way that you work with your clients' dreams. So I think even this one day of introduction can really deepen your client relationships. I've been studying this thesis done by actually a colleague of mine up in British Columbia who has just finished a master's thesis of doing research into the efficacy of this archetypal dream work. They call it's different. Archetypal dream work is related to experiential dream work. And this woman, Birgit Lankowski, reported on a finding that when therapists bring dreams into the session, in any way that they work with those dreams, just the client bringing the dream into the session was associated with significantly higher levels of client satisfaction. So just by being open to working with dreams and having your client share a dream and you being able to hold the space and just listen and maybe have a few ideas in mind or just even just holding the space can really increase overall client satisfaction. And I think the practitioner day will help you to appreciate the dreams in a way that maybe you haven't before. I think people are sometimes afraid to work with dreams. The therapists think it's kind of woo-woo and it's like really far from reality. But in fact, it's way farther from the truth than you can imagine. Dreams are actually closer to reality than our conscious thoughts. That's been my experience. The dreams are expressing what's going on in our brains at an incredibly deep level. In fact, the hippocampus and the amygdala are extremely active during our dreaming time, and those are some of the most primitive parts of our brain that are associated with emotions, and that's what's happening when we're dreaming. The prefrontal cortex, which is our thinking brain, is suppressed while we sleep, and yet these deeper parts of the brain are active, and which is perhaps why we don't understand dreams very well, because the prefrontal cortex is suppressed. But we notice that what is coming out is the really core issues, and the issues for the client or for the dreamer that are the most important, the most basic issues that are, and they are the ones that are active right now. I've often wondered how would it be to be a psychotherapist. You sit down with a client and you say, well, what shall we talk about today? You know, tell me about your childhood. You know, where do you even start? I never know I can't even imagine what to do there. Whereas when I start with somebody, I sit down and we talk about dreams. So, of course, I start out by saying, well, how are you and what's been up for you lately? And then what have you been dreaming about? And the client brings in a few dreams, if they've had any new ones. And that gives me some understanding of precisely what's going on with the dreamer in that moment, and that I may not even need to understand the dreams, but that dream image is what's happening for that dreamer.
So let's hold it there for the moment. So then the next thing I wanted to check with was on the dream work intensive, which you call the retreat. So for the people who attend that, what is their expected experience? What are they going through there? So we have the practitioner's training, which has a certain level of introductory information, which is usable for practitioners, health practitioners. Now, for those attending the Dream Work Intensive, what's their experience? What will they expect to go through? What would they expect to potentially get out of it?
Well, for the Dream Work Intensive, we will be working intensively with each...
You got me on that one.
Yeah. You're fun. That's good. We'll be working in Tesla with each person's dreams. And so you would bring three or four or five dreams that you'd like to work, preferably new ones, although just ones that are particularly strong for you. And by exploring these dreams and by asking questions relating to these dreams, like who is the person in the dream to you? Is this, you know, is this, what does this person mean to you? Is this somebody you like or you don't like? What is this experience in your waking life? That you can really start to open up and really deepen your path, your experience of who you are. You might start to understand some of the blocks that you're having, and even more than understanding some of the blocks, you might start to loosen some of the blocks. Like one of the main things that people have issues with is relationships, and because we have reactions to each other that can be hard to understand, and dream work can really start to unravel some of those blocks that make relationships so unsatisfying. So I think that the intensive starts to really begin that healing process. The intensive is for the dreamer, not necessarily for clients. But if a practitioner does the intensive by improving their own experience, then they will then naturally improve the experience of their clients. But the focus of the intensive is on your own experience and your own personal growth, your own blocks and issues.
And it's important. So it's important for that, really, that you're able to bring dreams with you, because that's really where you need to focus your work. Is that correct for the intensive?
A few dreams would be helpful. Yeah, I think for the intensive, as long as you have like one or a couple of dreams. But you know, honestly, it's not even really required for that level. Like I have these dream circles twice a month, and every once in a while, someone will come without any dreams, and that's fine. That's wonderful that they can be there. And I can ask them if they've had any waking life experiences that seem really odd or like kind of dreamlike. You know how those things happen sometimes in waking life, was like, what just happened? You know, that felt like a dream. That was like so surreal that you can actually work those moments as if they were dreams.
Well, it does say on the website also that it is recommended that people either have a session with you, Sue, or Bill.
Right.
So they could become familiar for the intensive, not for the caravan.
Right, but not necessarily for the practitioner training, and definitely not for the caravan.
Right.
And if you do decide to attend the intensive, that free session would be free. It would be included in the price of the intensive.
The practitioner training.
No, I'm saying that a one-on-one session with me.
Oh, the one-on-one session would be free. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. For people attending the intensive. But the practitioner training, you don't have to have any of your own dreams. The focus is more on clients' dreams.
Okay. And then, of course, the caravan, people are really coming to experience, to learn. If they bring dreams, fine. If they don't bring dreams,
right.
It's not as critical, because they're really learning about the whole idea of dreaming.
Exactly. Right, and it may be that attending the caravan will stimulate some more dream recall. Maybe you don't remember dreams much, but you're kind of curious. It's like, people talk about dreams, I wonder what that is. And so I think attending a caravan could well stimulate more dream recall. Just being around all those people interested in dreams and hearing the workshops, taking part in the workshops, and being surrounded by people talking about their dreams can really stimulate recall of your own dreams, because when we really honor our dreams, that's when we remember them better. A lot of times we wake up and go, oh, I have a busy day, I'm just going to move on. But I like to take 15 minutes in the morning and write it down, and then I tend to have more dreams if I respect them.
And one of the things we spoke about last time also was this idea of dream journals, of making sure that if you want to capture a dream, kind of keep something handy by the bed so you can wake up and record that and not rely on trying to remember it later in the afternoon, because by then it's gone.
Well, you know, and I've always had this theory, and now it's borne out by this thesis that I read about Bridget Lonkowski, that when we're dreaming, a part of our brains that are active are not the same part of the brains that are active when we're awake. So when we do wake up, the prefrontal cortex, the thinking brain, takes over, and the dreams fade away, because they're happen in an entirely different part of the brain than our waking life. So sometimes it helps just to lay there in bed when you first wake up and bring the dream to mind, because then you're keeping your awareness in that deeper part of your brain, that more primitive part of your brain, which is where the dreaming occurs.
Well, Catherine, go ahead.
Don't rely on remembering it later.
Yeah. We want to remind folks to go to krbelldreamworker.com. They can find all the information both about private sessions, group sessions. They can certainly find the information about the Dream Work Intensive and Dream Caravan. And the Dream Work Intensive, again, was what you referred to as the retreat. And you'll have more information on the practitioner's training coming up. But now would be the time for people to sign up. Now, is it just the Dream Caravan that the price is going up on the 15th? Or
that's just the caravan.
Okay. So this would be the time for people to get engaged and get their tickets for that event, which is Sunday, February 5th from 2 to 8 p.m. In SoCal. So that's a wonderful opportunity. Any final thoughts before we journey off to talk about the full moon?
I think this is going to be a really exciting series of events coming up, and I'm just passionate about this creating dream community here in Santa Cruz. So thank you for helping me spread the word, Solazar. I really appreciate it.
It's really my pleasure. I enjoy talking with you and hearing what you have to share. So I appreciate it, and thank you for the work that you're doing.
All right.
Okay, so that was Dr. Catherine Bell. She does experiential dream work. Go to krbelldreamworker.com to find out more about her personal one-on-one work, her group sessions. And as we said, there are three events coming up, boom, boom, boom. February 1st is a practitioner training with her and Sue Scavo and Bill St. Cyr, where they will take therapists who are interested in learning how to incorporate some dream work or understanding of dreams and working with their client base. And then the 2nd through 4th, there's an intensive called the Dream Work Intensive or the Retreat, where you come in to really explore deeper for yourself what's going on with your dreams, what's going on in your waking life and dream connection, what is it saying to you. And then Sunday, February 5th from 2 to 8 p.m., there's the Dream Caravan, which is open to the public. Tickets are going up on the 15th, so if you're interested, get your tickets now. But that actually gives you an opportunity to really be introduced more to the world of dream work and the different types of modalities and ways of approaching it to give you a better understanding of what's going on, as well as a very powerful keynote, which talks about how to bring your dreams into reality. And Lord knows we need some of those dreams in reality right now with some of the nightmares going on. But today, January 12th, was a powerful day for many reasons, but there are three transits that are going on astrologically that are adding power to what's going on. The first one started at 6:03 a.m. when Mercury entered Capricorn. Now, Mercury has been going through its retrograde. It went direct, but now Mercury is along with our full moon that I'm going to mention, is settling into the logical, practical, and realistic earthbound sign of Capricorn. Now, the good part about this is that the goat, represented by Capricorn, is the goat. It'll shut down some of the drama that our full moon days always bring to us. This is a full moon day. I had some drama today. Drama that I chose to pursue because that's my nature. I'm an Aries. But what it really says is that this is going to tone us down in some of our language and some of our drama. There'll still be some. In addition, because of Capricorn, Capricorn doesn't like living or dealing in the drama. Because of Capricorn, we're not going to want to put up with other people's nonsense at the same time as the drama is occurring. So this is a good, strong punch of reality to our minds and to our communication to get us back on track, keep us thinking realistically, and keep a realistic focus. The beauty of Capricorn is that it has a deliberate persistence that allows us to keep moving forward toward the better. So for instance, we'll take my example. I'm not going into details, but if I want to persist to stay into that drama, Capricorn's going to shut me down and say, look, knock it off. get back into reality. That's only a part of who you are. That's not who you are. And so you need to take that out of every interaction and every encounter. So it's good. It's going to get us back on track and keep us grounded. So it's a good time for us to walk, talk, and act both rationally and sensibly. But at 3:34 p.m. today, let's go to 1:54, because the full moon was actually our last transit that I want to touch on. At 1:54 p.m. today, Venus in Pisces conjuncted Neptune in Pisces. So that means they're kind of walking and talking together. They're both in Pisces. Now, Venus loves Pisces. You know, Venus loves Pisces because Pisces has that sensitivity. It kind of enhances all that sensitivity, that emotional love, the harmony that Venus is looking for. You know, it feels all warm and fuzzy when it's in Pisces. But it's almost too much, because Pisces is the high end of sensitivity. It's the 12th sign in our 12 sign zodiac in the Western world. So it carries energies from all the other signs. And in addition, it carries extra sensitivity, as if it's gained a little bit of insight from all the signs that came before us. And there's that avenue that, you know, the 30th degree of Pisces is almost considered like a birthing canal, although they're not there. But that's when we're going from the last sign to the first sign, going into Aries. And it's considered really going from the creative to the manifesting. So Pisces has a great deal of sensitivity, great deal of creativity on top of it. So what we have is that Venus walking along with Neptune, both in Pisces, and Neptune loves Pisces too, because Neptune is about the collective unconscious. Neptune is about our dreams. Neptune is about our underlying emotions. And so the dreamer, the visionary, the healer, all of this is going on at 1:54 p.m. Pacific time today. So we have our minds in Capricorn, but we find ourselves with this deep, deep emotional sensitive connectivity going on. We're feeling potentially heart opened, but I want to give a caution. This ain't the day to find your soulmate. We're almost too open. And every connection that we feel is going to be larger than the reality of what it is. So we want to allow ourselves to keep our feet grounded. But we're going to dance between our rational doing, our intuitive feeling. It's going to be, but Neptune also rules illusions and confusions. So we just want to make sure, I'm going to reemphasize this, we want to keep ourselves grounded. We want to allow ourselves to feel, because I believe that feeling is what makes us human, not thinking. It's how we feel. Allowing ourselves to feel connected, to feel open, even feel a little vulnerable is okay. Don't let the emotions rule. Keep yourselves grounded. It's a good time to come up with ideas, because the creativity is going to be running rampant. It's just not a good time to act on it. We need to wait till we have some more grounding till next week before we start acting on these ideas, because our ideas are going to be big. They're going to be huge, huge. I'm telling you, big ideas, because I have the big ideas. But we're going to have those big ideas. They're going to be out there. Write them down. Record them. Don't lose them, just as we were talking about with the dreams. Hold on to them so you can come back to them. But don't act on them just yet. Allow yourself, in this case, to live a little bit in your dream. Your mind is coming back because of Mercury in Capricorn. Your intuition is kicking in hard. Allow it to open you. But keep your feet on the ground. Don't make any big, sudden changes. Not a good time to start relationships. Not a good time to end relationships. Not a good time to change careers, start a new job, end a job. Not a good time to buy a house, sell a house. Not a good time to buy a car, sell. It's not a good time for any big, major movement on your part. Keep your ideas big. Write them down and keep moving forward. And then we have our full moon in Cancer. Now, full moons, as you know, as well as new moons, they're emotional times, but especially full moons. And here we have our full moon sitting in the sign of the dripping handkerchief, Cancer, the deep, deep cardinal emotional sign of our zodiac. Cancer's always ready for emotional displays and unexpected outbursts, but Cancer also loves all things home, family, and food. This is a good time if you're feeling emotional, and I'm not a weight loss or weight guru. If you're feeling emotional, go cook your favorite meal. Go have a good meal. Go have something that excites your palate. Allow yourself to feed yourself physically and emotionally. Avoid sharing your deepest feelings with friends, with family, or even strangers. Not a good time to sit on the bus pouring your heart out to somebody, because this is not a good time to pour your heart out to anybody. Tone it down. Record it for yourself. Don't feel everybody's feeling touchy. So you record your deepest emotions with me. I'm going to actually end up recording my deepest emotions to you. Nobody's going to get resolved. Nobody's going to get solved. But enjoy this heart energy. This is an opening energy. Find the things that are going to open your heart. Allow your heart to let you feel. Allow your heart to identify what is really important to you. Because going forward, especially for the rest of this year, what we want to do is liberate ourselves and set ourselves free from those things that have held us back, from the ankle chains that have held us down from moving forward, because those ankle chains are all emotional. They're from the emotional issues that we haven't identified, we haven't resolved, or if we've identified them, we fail to want to look at them again. We just put them in a closet, throw a wrap around them, and close the door because we don't want to see them. This is our time to liberate ourselves and set ourselves free. At no other time in the world has there been a greater need for everyone with a spiritual mind or a spiritual heart to be able to set their light free. I'm not talking rose-colored glasses. I'm talking about keeping your reality, as I said, your feet on the ground, facing your reality, but letting your light shine forth. We need all of you, each and every one of you. So use this full moon to help you identify what is truly important in your life, what you want to bring more of into your life, and what you can afford to release in your life that you don't need to carry forward, because we need each and every one of us to be the greatest light that we can be through this year of 2017. So I want to thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. I encourage you to go to the guest page and connect over to Dr. Catherine Bell's sites to find out about her practitioner training, her dream work intensive, as well as the Dream Caravan. Excuse me. And I thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. We'll be back with a new show on Tuesday with Kirilani and her Go With The Flow with the energy of the week, the month, and the year. Between now and then, remember, get clear on what you want to bring more of, what you want to release, and what is truly important to you. Turn the lead in your life into gold. Many, many blessings. Thank you for listening. Namaste.
Gotta keep those lovin' good vibrations.